going to do one more song. This I'm just going to do by myself. I had an opportunity yesterday to record a show on K-Wave. I don't know when it's going to be aired, but I got a chance to really share the gospel and share about ministry and share about dying and a bunch of stuff. And I got to do about six songs. And I don't know how much of it they're going to cut and how much they're going to keep. But it'll be on Saturday. When I find out the date that it'll be on, I'll let everybody know so you can listen to it. It's not a big deal. You know, when I was young, I was chasing after the brass ring so much. I wanted stardom and stuff. Now I just want people to hear about Jesus. And so I'm just, maybe some more people will hear about Jesus. And that's my hope. And so, but this song is a song that is off my new album. I didn't even bring the albums today, but this is the title song off the album. I've sung it for you a few times, but it's one of my favorite new songs. And when all my days are gone and I leave this world behind, oh, I hope that you will say we had a pleasant time. We laughed and talked a while. Oh, we shared a dream or two. And I'm a better man 'cause I spent time with you. When you remember me, when all is said and done, I hope you will believe the best is yet to come. Now when I see his face, oh, I'll be sure to mention. But I'm sure in all his grace, he'll be thinking of you too. Now the time, it won't be long till we meet again. So remember my little song, how our love will never end. Oh, the best is yet to come. I know the best is yet to come. And when all is said and done, I know the best is yet to come. Now I consider this present suffering nothing to be compared with the best that's still yet to come. Now when all my days are gone and I leave this all behind, oh, I hope that you will say we had a pleasant time. Thank you, man. Thank you. Bless you. I love you guys.
That's a hard act to follow. Let's pray. Father, we thanks for that reminder not just for Sam, but for all of us. The best is yet to come. And so, Lord, as we talk about the gospel this morning, and as we consider the good news of Jesus Christ, as we consider eternity, I just pray that the words that come out of my mouth will be straight from you, from your heart to my heart, to each heart here. That you'd bless the word as it goes forth, and it will accomplish that for which you sent it. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we're on a series of the gospel, if you forgot. And I think, as I think I told the Wednesday group, I think we're only going to do this for about 2 years. Because there's so much to it. You know, when you're talking about God and you're talking about the gospel, you can't really see in one glimpse all that He is and all that it is. And so what you do is it's like looking at a diamond, and every time you turn that diamond, you see a different color, a different beauty. And I think talking about the gospel for me has been the same thing. As I turn the gospel and look at it from different angles, from the scriptures that we're using, it's like that beautiful diamond that you get a whole new look at it every time you turn it. So I want you to turn now to Matthew 18, and Jesus is using an illustration. Who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? What does it take to get there? Who's going to be the greatest when you get there? 18:1-6. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and said, "Who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And he called a child to himself and set him before them and said, "Truly I say to you, unless you are converted and turn and become like children, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever then humbles himself as this child, he is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." So Jesus answered him and answered the question. Now, just the very fact that the disciples even asked the question tells you they have no idea about the gospel, about even asking a question about who's the greatest. Just prior to this, a couple of chapters before, they had been arguing over who's the greatest. I bet Peter won that argument. I'm not sure, but knowing Peter, he probably wasn't going to lose. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and said, "Who's the greatest?" And he called a child to himself. What an illustration. What is it about a child that would tell us and give us understanding and information about entering the kingdom of heaven? I think it's safe to say that the word that comes to mind about children is humble or humility, especially the younger they are. Doesn't take long, and kids are getting educated according to the world a lot earlier than you, most of us in here did. We were innocent for a lot longer time than children today are. One commentator was saying it must have been a pretty young child. A child that when he saw danger or saw something that scared him would run to his dad or his mom and hide behind their leg and look out at whatever the danger was. Could have been a dog, could have been another person, a big person. I had a friend that had a big bushy beard and long hair, and he came by the house one day when Chris was about 2 years old, 2.5. And Chris took one look at him and headed for the behind my leg. Because it scared him. I got a dog he scares too. But the dog doesn't run behind my leg. He goes after him. And she's about as big as this microphone, so no damage done. And he said, "Truly I say to you, unless you're converted and become like a children, you'll not enter the kingdom of heaven." Well, you know, that's not a very good man talk. And probably in most men's ministries, they've never preached on this passage. But it's a crucial passage to look at, to know, to understand, if you're going to understand the kingdom of heaven and the gospel. It's safe to say, basically, if you want to make a statement about this, and we do, that unless you're humble, you're not going to get into the kingdom of heaven, Jesus said. My favorite passage on that is in Philippians 2. You probably recall this, verses 3 through 11. "Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind regard one another as more important than yourselves." You know, all throughout the scriptures and everything Jesus taught and modeled and lived just says humility. It says humbling yourself. Time after time, Jesus would say, if you don't deny yourself, take up your cross every day and follow me. You cannot be my disciple. So the whole issue of humility and humbling yourself and thinking of others first, and it's God and others and self, if you want to prioritize those three things, it's crucial that we do that. Why is it such a big boogaboo, and why did Jesus have to mention it and talk about it so often? And here illustrate who's greatest in the kingdom of heaven. We would say the greatest in the kingdom of heaven must be Billy Graham. Thousands of people came to Christ. But there are other evangelists that have led people to Christ who weren't humble, who had selfish ambition, who were trying to get their name out there, just like Sam was talking about when he was younger and trying to be a star and trying to get on recording labels, and did some of that. But now, in his older years with gray hair, considering his demise, he says, all I want is to humbly lead people to Jesus Christ. That's all that matters. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. And you know, when we're serving Christ, he wants us to serve him in his way, not our way. Our way is to serve with ambition. Our way is to serve to be noticed, to be appreciated, to be pointed out, to get an accolades, to get applause. But that's not Jesus's way. As a matter of fact, when he was healing people and becoming the most known and talked about man in Israel in those days, he would heal a guy and say, now don't tell anybody about this. Of course, they all did. Because when you've been healed, how are you going to keep it quiet? Now, he probably knew that, but on the other hand, his spirit and heart and attitude was humble. I'm not looking for notoriety. I'm not looking for accolades. I'm not looking to become the new hot rabbi of the day, of the month, or this year. Don't tell anybody that I did this. Don't look after your own personal interests, but also the interests of others. Think of others as more important than yourself. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus. Well, what attitude did he have? Here's the thing about an attitude that I've learned. You know, I can't always choose my circumstances, and had a lot of them I certainly wouldn't choose. I didn't choose the family I was born into. I didn't choose what I was going to look like. That's obvious. But I can choose how I respond to all those things. I get to choose my attitude. Guy comes walking in the door over here, and I go, how you doing? Well, under the circumstances. And I go, what are you doing under there? So you get to choose your attitude. And thankfully, I was well along, and Susan was, when she got her brain tumor, and we were shocked at hearing it at first. But then we looked at each other and said, this is either going to be the worst thing that happened to us, or it's going to be our finest hour. We get to choose. We get to choose our attitude about that. Now, we'd had good teaching along. I'd sat under some of the greatest preachers ever, in my opinion, in my life. Do much is given, much is required. Can I trust you with this brain tumor? Can I trust you with this cancer? Can I trust you with this heartache, this loss? Can I trust you to represent me? And if you're going to represent me, what does finest hour mean? There's a word that helps us understand that, and it's accept. Mother Teresa used to say that all the time. It's one of her themes in life. Accept. Accept what God puts in. Accept what God takes out. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Well, you know, if you got that attitude and you believe that God is sovereign and God is good, you can choose an attitude that's positive, an attitude that's hopeful, an attitude that's cheerful. Even when the circumstances aren't going your way, even when your team just lost. I'm about to stop watching Auburn play. Just like I stopped watching Fox News. It gets all this stuff going on in me that I don't want. All these emotions, all these negative emotions that come. I'm sorry, I'm glad I didn't hear that. So I get to choose my attitude. I get to choose how I respond. How are you responding today? You got a thing going on, or things. Have you decided it's going to be your finest hour? And why would you even want it to be your finest hour? Finest hour for what? For the gospel. Are you acting in such a way in front of the people in your sphere of influence at work, or your neighbors, or your friends on the golf course, in the marketplace? Are you acting in such a way that they would look at you and go, man, I don't know what you got, but I need it? Because they're watching you fail. They're watching you go through loss and difficulty and pain. And so how are they surmising? What's your God like? If you see a Christian with a long face and they're angry and they're mad and they're blaming God, there's a Christian or professing Christian that doesn't believe God's sovereign, that God puts in and God takes out, blessed be the name of the Lord. That you can praise God in your hard times just like you can in the blessings. And when we all applaud when we see in the MRI came back clear. And we applaud. Hallelujah. We get those blessings. But what if it came back and like Susan's all came back clear until the time it had spread all over her brain? To this day, we don't know what's going on there physically and medically, but I know what was going on there. He was bringing that little girl home. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That doesn't mean I don't miss her. It doesn't mean that I don't miss her more every day. And I'm having a tough time living without her. But I know God's had a purpose. God has a purpose. And the only purpose I can figure out, knowing God and what He's all about, He said, go in the world and make disciples. Do it when your wife gets a brain tumor. Do it when you lose your job. Do it when the guy runs off with your retirement funds. I've seen all those happen to people. And that's the test of life. What are you aiming at? When the disciples said, who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? They were aiming at the wrong direction. And Jesus had to say, you're not even going to get into heaven if you keep going in that direction, that selfish ambition, that wanting to be great. Seekest thou great things for yourself? Seek them not. That's the message of the gospel. You know, the one guy let's just say that Billy Graham led thousands to Christ and you led one.